Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
How to make a decision when your world gets rocked. Your world ever been rocked? I want to hear all campuses, if your world has ever been rocked, say yes.
Yes.
And was it planned?
No.
No, 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 no. We never plan this world rocking mess that happens. And so we're going to be in Matthew 14. If you've got your Bible today, you can open that up. We'll start around verse 24. And as you're turning right there, I wanted to just have you reflect on how early in life. I'm asking Pastor Paul, Pastor Phil, Pastor Austin, campus pastors, think about this with us in your auditoriums today. What's the earliest in life your world ever got rocked? And I was thinking about that as I was writing this message, and I realized my world had been rocked before I had ever been born. My dad gave me up. I was born in Canada, and Dad never came to see me, wanted nothing to do with me, and completely gave me up. And I didn't even realize that as a baby. As a baby, you don't know this stuff. But until later in life, everybody say later in life.
Later in life.
So some of the things that I want to talk about today maybe happened to you back in the day, but your world's still rocking a little bit right now. If you can identify something that happened to you before but still affects you some right now, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I really, you know, had these holes in my life thinking somebody didn't want me. Well, you know, it's really interesting because at 3 years old, my dad adopted me here in the U.S. And I think it's funny how we get hung up on who didn't want us instead of getting hung up on what God did for us, because he didn't have to love me. The man who adopted me, the man I called dad, he didn't have to love me. I wasn't born to him, and he's like, well, you're here, so I'm going to have to love you. No, he chose to love me. And I want to let you know, I don't know what has rocked your world in the past, but there is a family of origin and there is a family of choice. And today you are seated with your family of choice. And we choose you, we love you, and your Heavenly Father loves you. So no matter how your world was rocked, look at your neighbor and say, don't rock me like a hurricane. You remember that song? Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane. Maybe I missed a world in the rock career. Probably not. But let's talk about getting rocked by a hurricane. In Matthew 14. In Matthew 14, you've got the, that's Zechariah, that's not Matthew. In Matthew 14, you've got the disciples. And they are out on this ocean. They're out on the sea, and they're crossing this lake, this body of water, and they're getting rocked by what seems like a hurricane. And as they're going across, doing something God told them to do. Did you know you could do something God told you to do and still get rocked? They're doing something God told them to do. They get out on the boat, and they've been out on the boat for a while. That said that they were many furlongs in verse 24 and 25. They were many furlongs out into the water, and it was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, and the boat was being beaten, and the boat was being tossed. And I'm thinking, well, if it's between 3 and 6 a.m., they probably didn't leave at 3 a.m. They probably left at 10 o'clock at night, maybe before the sun went down. So they'd been getting beaten up for a while. Everybody, all campuses say, for a while. Do you feel like you've been beaten up for a while? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you right now, get ready. I think somebody's coming for you. Yeah. Think somebody's coming. Come on, somebody. They're not sure. You think he's coming for you? I'm not talking about Freddy Krueger. I'm talking about Jesus. You see, we serve the God of the impossible. And he's so good at doing the impossible. And so they've been beaten all day long and they're all night long and they're freaking out. And when they saw him in verse 26, it said they were terrified. They were terrified when they saw Jesus walking on the water. And I'm like, why were you terrified? I'm sure Jesus had to be thinking, well, this is not the response I expected. I kind of expected him to go like, you go, boy, woo, woo. But instead, they're terrified. Jesus had been doing the impossible all day long.
You see, if you back up a few scriptures, it tells you what they did all day. And here's what the day looked like. Right before he sent them out, he said, I'm going alone to pray. So Jesus goes up by himself to talk to his dad, to talk to Father God. And I imagine the conversation went like this. God's like, hey, son, how was your day? Because parents always say that, right? How was your day? And so he's like, oh, man, Father God, it was awesome. You see, we were there. We had church by this lake. Like 10,000 people showed up, 5,000 men plus the women and children. God's like, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, there were tons of sick people there. I healed every one of them. Some guy came in, had no leg. I prayed for a boot leg. Other guy, man, he said he'd been bent over like this, couldn't find a chiropractor anywhere. I straightened him up. He was straight. Some guy had leprosy. Half of his flesh had been eaten away. I prayed for him. He had flesh. Father God's like, I'm so proud of you, Jesus. That's incredible. What else? He's like, well, you know, people, after I healed everybody, they were hungry. Yeah. Everybody want to eat after church, so they. And God said, okay, would you feed them? He's like, well, there were only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God says, what'd you do? Multiplied them, fed everybody, collected 12 baskets when I was done, and you should have seen their faces. So here he is doing the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, healing every sick person he can find. He's doing the impossible all day long. So when the disciples see Jesus walking on the water, why are they surprised that he's doing the impossible? Let me ask you this. What are some of the impossible things that you've seen God do for you? Because we tend to forget that, don't we? They forgot that he did the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They forgot that he healed everybody. You forgot that he saved you from the car wreck. You forgot that he delivered you out of the financial trouble. You forgot that you had that inkling on the inside of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Come on, somebody. But they were terrified. And aren't we, though? Aren't we terrified when God's like, hey, I'm going to let this rock you for a minute and ask you to do a little more? Does anybody else feel like God just continues to stretch you? I'm like, okay, God, I'm giving you 187.5%. It's all I got, man. And he's like, you're doing incredible, Nicole. There's this one more thing. And he stretches you out just a little bit more, and you feel like you're stretched, and you feel like you're thinner, and you feel like you're stretched, and you feel like you're thinner. And at the same time, you're surprised at how far you can go with God. How far? You know, because the Bible didn't say you will be stretched and thin and then finally break. No, it says you go from faith to faith, from level to level, and from victory to victory, because God's got good plans for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. But Jesus is walking on the water. Disciples look out at him. And what do they say? They say, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. What are we going to do? It's a ghost. And as they say, it's a ghost, it says in verse 27, but immediately, when did Jesus talk to him?
Immediately.
So Jesus waited 5 minutes. Jesus waited till they broke through in prayer. No. Jesus made them fast for 6 days and 6 nights. Y'all aren't listening, answering good. Come on, Weldon Spring, West Palm Beach, Earth City, Sunset Hills. Need to hear you. Did Jesus make them wait?
No.
Did he answer 2 days later?
No.
Did he send an email and wait till we opened it?
No.
When did he answer? He answered immediately. Immediately. God is talking right now. Right now. Matter of fact, I hope, friends, that he's talking to you so loud that you stop hearing me because you're hearing him. And if that ever happens to you in a church service, don't feel bad. That's why it's on YouTube. Go back and listen to this later, but tune into that and start taking notes. And anything that he's prompting in your spirit, write it down. Because he's talking to you in trouble. And as soon as you ask for him, when does Jesus speak?
Immediately.
So they're not even talking to Jesus. They're just responding at all. They're saying, it's a ghost. They're not saying, dear Lord Jesus, it's a ghost. Nothing. No, no, no. It's a ghost. Immediately, Jesus speaks. When you're in fear, immediately. Jesus speaks. When things go wrong,
immediately
Jesus speaks. When you're concerned,
immediately
Jesus speaks. So immediately Jesus is speaking. That's why the Bible says, incline your ear. What do you do when the world gets rocked and you need to make a decision? You incline your ear. You listen because God is speaking. Let's write that down if you're a note taker. What do you do when your world gets rocked? Because what happens is we start to say, oh my gosh, it's rocking. What am I going to do? I got to hold on. I got to call some. I got to call my mom. Mom, help! We're so busy trying to hold on, thinking we got to call on, calling for help from everybody else, we forget to listen. Because Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is like, hey, I got a life vest for you. It's right here. We're freaking over here. Jesus is in here going, got your life vest? I'm nice. I'm safe. I'm dry. I'm ready. I'm here to help. And we're like, oh, I need help. Jesus wants to help. Y'all thought that was funny. West Palm Beach, Jesus wants to help you. Well, in spring, Jesus wants to help you. Sunset Hills, online, Facebook. Right now, there's somebody watching in Connecticut. Right now, there's somebody watching in Florida. Right now, there's somebody watching in another country. And you're wondering, I'm not even connected. I'm not even in the house. I'm in another place. Does Jesus want to help me? I'm here to let you know right now. God sent me here today to this place. He connected us on purpose. Because why? Because he wants you to hear him. He is your help. So Peter responds, a lot of us respond. Peter responds in verse 28. He says, Lord, if it's you. Don't we do that when God sends us help? Well, God, you see, what I wanted to do was take a new job, but instead you're asking me to stay at this job. So I'm just going to have to ask you, Lord, if it's you. I'm going to need you to send 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. With 4 rainbows and 2 unicorns, in Jesus' name. We look for signs, don't we? Peter here, he's like us, he's looking for a sign. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water like you. It's kind of calling God out. We want a sign before we proceed. You know, I love when God confirms with signs following because it encourages me. But God did not ask us to have faith only when we're encouraged. God asks us to have faith. Matter of fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I love it if we're going through a time of peace in our life and we see some doves, we feel confirmation in our heart. God works through with our family through a couple of things that we just kind of know are God nods and God winks and we know we're on the right path. Does that happen with you? Y'all are like, it's 11:11. That means I'm supposed to call that boy. We want God to confirm with signs following, but grab this precept. It is not God's best for us to follow a sign. You see, those were really important in the Old Testament because they didn't have Jesus speaking to them directly. So they needed to look for something. But now the Holy Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. He is speaking to you right this very minute. I guarantee it. Because what happens when we ask for a sign, our faith is here, so we ask for a sign. God gives us a sign. Now he expects our faith to be built. So if we have this level of faith and he gives us a sign and we step on this level of faith, we can't get to this thing until now we at least come up to here. So every sign we ask for means we have to have more faith. Does that make sense? Let me go over that again because this is important because especially if we like, oh, I want it, but I need a sign. God gave me a sign. Okay, God, I need another sign. You ever ask God for more than one sign on something? Oh, yeah, you're not alone. I feel you. You know how I know this is true? Because I'm human. I've done it. So God gives us a sign and he says, okay, now, I've given you a sign. Now, I expect you to have more faith. So we can't stay at the faith level we were when we asked for a sign. He's requiring us to have more faith. Well, what does that mean? I don't understand. Okay, let's talk about Peter. So he said, hey, God, Jesus, if it's you, call me out on the water. Gives a bold dare. What does Jesus say? Come. Aw, snap. Because what just happened to Peter is he was getting rocked and his boat was being thrown around, but he was still safe. and he was still dry, and everything was okay, and he wasn't in the water, and he wasn't drowning. So he's like, Lord, if it's you, you just tell me to come. He says, come. He's like, now this amount of faith is not going to give Peter the next level. Right? He asked for the sign. God's delivering the sign, but now he has to step out on the sign. So he asks, and now he has to step out. The problem is when we're making a decision, when God gives us direction, a lot of times we don't want God's direction to really lead us. What we want, family, what we want West Palm, what we want Weldon Spring, what we want online, what we want Facebook, Earth City, Sunset Hills, what we want is God to tell us what we want to hear. When Peter said, hey, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come out on the water, I think what he really meant was, hey, Jesus, if it's you, calm all this situation down so that there's calm water so I could envision myself walking out to you somewhere nice and peaceful. He didn't mean, hey, it's a crazy hurricane, life is busting loose, so call me to do something crazier than what's happening right now, because right now I don't even have the faith to believe it's you. He didn't even have the faith to believe it was Jesus, and yet he was asking to do more. No, he wasn't asking to do more. He was asking God to calm it all down. Which is really funny, because how is it, family, that we can believe that God could make us walk on still water, but somehow he'd have problem on rough water? Right? We have limits in our head to God's possibility. So when we're making decision, when our world gets rocked, here's a couple of things we never want to do if you're note taker. Number one, you never want to make a decision based on your feelings. Because your feelings are fickle. Your feelings lie. You go out on number one date, you're like, yeah, I like this. This is good. You go out on a number two date and they didn't take their medicine. You know? Nope. Fell straight out of love. Right? You go to the car dealership. You're not buying a car, you're just with a friend. They drive a car, you get in the car smells good. They don't sell you a car, they sell you a payment. Well, I could never afford something like this. Oh, but it's only $299.97 a month. Oh, well, that's not bad. That's almost what I'm paying now. Oh, well, what's your trade? Oh, I don't have a trade, I'm not buying a car. Well, let's just talk about if you were. Suddenly, you're driving out in a new car, and you were going to have this one paid off in 18 months, and now this one's going to be paid off in 20,297 years from now. And you're driving off happy, and the next day, you wake up and say, what did I do? Our feelings change. Everybody say, feelings change.
Feelings change.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm changing my mind right now. Feelings change. We can never base what we do on our feelings. And we can never base what we do on what we think or our interpretation. Yeah. See, God tells us, okay, so what I want you to do is step out. Jesus is over here. We're like, oh, good, God, because really I was wanting to go to Texas. You told me to step out. I'll see you. And we jump out this way. We can't jump out that way. Jesus isn't over there. But God told me step out. Well, it's important that when God says step, let's just pause right there. When God says step, because so many times he doesn't say step, he says stick. I don't like that word, so I'm going to patty cake. Did they patty cake at Weldon? Did they just patty cake at West Palm? Because so many times God doesn't say step, he says stick. God, the marriage is hard. Give me somebody who's going to love me and appreciate me. We want to step out. And God's like, no, baby, you got to stick. We're like, Father God, these people at this workplace, they are driving me nuts. Not one of them's a Christian. We want to step out. And he's like, they're never going to hear about Christ unless you don't step out and you stick. Just because the situation gets tight, just because it gets hard, doesn't mean we're called to step out. Sometimes we're called to. So we have to listen to what God is telling us. Listen to what God is telling us. Because if Peter Let's back up. I don't want to get to Peter jumping out just yet, because he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And what does it say in the next scripture? It says, he says in verse 29, he says, come, come. He's got the invitation. It's ready. He's got to step out on faith. But I also think that one word really brings a lot of importance that sometimes we skip over. You see, if you go to, what is it? I think it's in John 11. I think it's verse 43. When Lazarus is in the tomb and Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he uses the same word, come, except he puts a name on it. Lazarus, come forth. Do you know why he put a name on it? Because if he hadn't put a name on it, West Palm Beach, every single dead body within the sound of his voice would have come and popped up out of the ground and been like, the Lord told me to rise. The Lord told me to come forth. Well, you'll notice when they were in the boat, he did not say, Peter, come forth. He just said, come. So I'm wondering, Weldon Spring on online Facebook, I'm wondering right now, Sunset Hills, I just want to know, West Palm Beach, I want to know, Earth City, here's my question to you. What is God telling you to do, and you're trying to defer it onto somebody else, because it looks a little too big, and it looks a little too hard, and it's not what you feel like doing? He might be telling you to stick, and you want to step. He might be telling you to step, and you want to stick. He might be saying, go this way, and you want to go that way. But we can't go the way we want to go. Say, we can't go the way we want to go. There's a priest, a rabbi, and a preacher sitting in a boat. Y'all have an idea where this is going, don't you? They're all on a fishing trip, and the rabbi has to go to the bathroom. So rabbi gets out of the boat, walks across the water, does his thing, comes back, walks across the water, gets back in the boat. A few minutes later, the priest has to use the restroom, so he just steps out of the boat, walks across the water, does his business on the land, walks back across the water, gets back in the boat. Well, the preacher, he'd been kind of holding it all this time, and he's like, oh man, I'm going to do what they did. He jumps out of the boat, and he falls in the water. Climbs back in the boat, tries it again, steps out, falls in the water. Climbs back up on the boat and says, dear God, please allow me to walk on the water. Give me the faith. And he gets back out and he falls back in the water again. Rabbi leans over to the priest and says, you think we should tell him where the stepping stones are? See, friends, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm showing you where the stepping stones are. I'm showing you where to step when things get rocky. I'm showing you how to make a decision. Say, not on our feelings. And say, not on my natural mind. You see, there's this guy, his name was John Lavelle. He was on Apollo 13. They made a movie, Apollo 13. Tom Hanks played this guy. Well, before he made it on Apollo 13, he was in World War II. He was over the Sea of Japan and flying a Banshee. And so he was following this homing signal back to his aircraft carrier. And the aircraft carrier had no lights on it. You couldn't see it. He was just following this signal. The problem was he started seeing the lights of mainland Japan. Somebody else was using the same frequency on the mainland, so he was flying straight towards the enemy instead of back home to this aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean. So he knew he was in trouble, and he needed the coordinates that were on this little knee pad that he had written down, but he couldn't see it in the dim light of the cockpit. So he had manufactured. Everybody say manufactured.
Manufactured.
You see, he made his own answer to the problem. He manufactured this little light for situations just like these, but he'd never used it before. So what he did is he took his little light he manufactured and he plugged it into the airplane. And do you know what happened, West Palm, Weldon Spring, online Facebook, Sunset Hills, or City? You know what happened? He shorted out the entire airplane. He had no more lights. He couldn't see his instruments. He didn't know his altitude. He didn't know what direction he was going. He knew nothing. Here he is in an aircraft with no lights, and in over a sea with no lights, looking for an aircraft carrier with no lights. He tried everything. He tried turning the jet back off, turning the jet back on, nothing rebooted. He didn't know what to do. And he thought, here's my life. I'm going to end up just crashing into the sea, and I'm going to sink. Then all of a sudden, everybody say, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Here's what I love about God. If we do make a decision based on feelings, his grace is going to cover it. If we do make a decision based on our own head knowledge, well, I just know what to do. I don't even need to pray about this. You ever said that? Come on, say amen. I know you have. I have. We've all said it. Amen. I'm going to be like, yeah. I don't pray about what to have for lunch, right? I don't pray about, you know, should I go to work today? We make 1,000 decisions a day that we factor God out of. But if we even make the decision with our natural mind and we don't ask him, he's still there to cover us. So when we do make a mistake and our world's been rocked, how many of you can imagine Jim LaBelle's world was rocked? So while his world was rocked, all of a sudden as he's preparing for his own funeral, he looks down and he sees this faint glow in the ocean. You see, there's these creatures in the ocean, these plankton, these little microscopic creatures that are phosphorescent. What does that mean? That means they glow in the dark. But they only glow in the dark when something has touched them and disturbed them. Something like, oh, I don't know, the rudder of an aircraft carrier. So he looks down, and here is this faint and light green trail that leads to the aircraft carrier. God is even willing to use your mistakes. You see, he tried to manufacture his own answer, so he tried to plug in. He would have never seen the green light because it was so faint that was in the ocean if he had never blown out the instruments on his aircraft. So today I just want to say to you, according to 2 Corinthians, it says God's grace, it's sufficient for you. You might have made the wrong call. You might have made a call based on feelings. You might have thought you knew what to do, and you realized you didn't know what to do, and now what do you do? God says, I have you. My grace is sufficient for you. Peace, peace, peace. Peace is our confirmation. Colossians 3:15. Here's where we do go. God, what do I do? Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace, the soul harmony that comes with Christ, rule and act as, here's my favorite part, umpire in your life. How do you make a decision when you don't know what to do? How do you make a decision when your world gets rocked? You lean into God. You listen to him. You don't follow your feelings. You don't use your natural mind. And you be led forth with peace. Not manufactured peace, because this is what we want to do. Amen? But the peace of God that rules in our heart. Isaiah 55:12 says, be led forth with peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And when we follow that peace, Peter has the ability then to step out of the boat. So he says, come. Everybody else could have come. I'm sure they didn't feel peace in their feelings. That's why you can't just go by your feelings. You have to check with your spirit. There's a difference. I want to say that one more time, because if you write anything down today, that might be it. Don't check with your feelings. Peace isn't a feeling. You have to check your spirit. You have to push your feelings out of the way. Get with God, and then he'll tell you to do the impossible. I believe what God made available to Peter, he actually made available to the other 11. And as Peter stepped out of the boat and they got back in, they said, truly, truly we know you are the Son of God. And family, I know when we're not connected and I connects, sometimes it's because, well, I don't need that. I'm fine. I'm good. But maybe it's not about you. Because actually when I read that, I thought, what if the whole walking on the water thing wasn't about Peter? What if it was about the other 11 guys seeing, if I'll only believe him a little bit more, if I'll only come when he calls me, if I'll only step out when he asks me to have faith, I could be the one walking on the water. Because I think it wasn't for Peter. I think it was for the disciples. I don't think it was just for the disciples, family. I think it was for us today. I think it was for us today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray with my family who's going to raise their hands right now. If you know that your world has been rocked and you need to make a decision and you've been looking for guidance and you've been like, I don't know what to do, raise your hand, because I believe God's going to speak to you and tell you what to do. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for my friends right now. And those who need direction, those that need correction, those that need alignment, those that need guidance, those that need a specific word, God, right now, we say, speak, your servant listens. And And I'm not going to talk for a few moments because I'm going to ask God to do it. We listen to you, Lord. Thankful, Jesus, speak. Give us a knowing, give us a peace that we can stand on as our foundation. And God, as confident as I am in the fact that you are God, that is how confident that I am that you are speaking right now. So God, for those of us who aren't hearing, God, help us. Help us to tune in. Help us to become alert. Help us to become aware of the Spirit. Help us to quiet our soul so we can hear our spirit. Emotions, bow down. Feelings, bow down. The Lord of heaven and earth is speaking right now. And Father God, we receive your answer. We receive your peace. And we will walk out and step out or stick with it in faith. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.